Hello everyone, and welcome to The Sydneyist. I'm Elizabeth Farrelly, welcoming you here to our weekly conversation about the city we love. Our motto is much curiosity, a smidgen of cheek, and definitely no whinging. Tonight we're talking about roofs, about rooftop cities in particular, and what a rooftop city might bring to Sydney. A little bit more possibly than things like keeping the rain off. And my guest this evening is Warren Livesey. I haven't actually checked the pronunciation of your name. Is that
correct,
right, Warren? Yes.
Yeah.
Good evening, and thank you for being here. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Warren is the has set up two rooftop-type things here. Well, not specifically here, actually. There's ARRO, which is the Association of Rooftop and Airspace Development, which is an international organisation. And there's also Buy Airspace, which is a commercial venture. This is a declaration so that we're not accused of conflict of interest. We're going to talk about the idea of rooftop development rather than necessarily doing a commercial for you. But because we're a community radio and we're like that. But it is a very interesting idea. So tell us, if you would, how this works and why roof space development, roof, is that what we're calling it? Yes. In Sydney is, I mean, I think of, you know, there's a building in St. Leonard's where what was called shop top development was actually 60 stories on top of something very small. But that's not what you're talking about, is it?
No.
No.
Not particularly, anyway. It's referred to as rooftop development or airspace development overseas. Mm. They refer to it here as vertical extensions, quite well known for it. But ultimately,
it sounds like something you do with your hair or your eyelashes.
Yeah, it's not very sexy, is it?
No. No.
Airspace or rooftop is the most clearest part to it. Mm. But ultimately, airspace or rooftop development is any of the airspace above a building up until where council allow you to build.
Yeah.
So when you actually buy a property, you actually own all the airspace all the way to heaven and all the way to hell. It's just the council.
And isn't it unless there's some mining happening underneath, in which case, no, but
correct.
Probably not mining the air above your roof. Okay.
Tricky to build down there. Fair enough.
It's using it. So it's the gap between your existing roof and the height limit that's imposed by government.
Correct. Mm. Yes.
Okay. And so mostly, I mean, obviously the heights of existing Sydney vary a lot. But are we talking? Are we talking about building on top of 50-story towers or on top of two-story houses or on top of like four-story warehouses or all of the above?
So airspace development is very popular overseas, especially in the UK through Europe and now in the US. It's not really started off here in Australia just yet. But ultimately, it's building a new home on top of an existing home.
Yes.
So it could be anything from an existing dwelling. It could be a terrace house. It could be a strata building. It could be commercial or even a shopping centre.
Yeah, so actually all of the above in a way. The idea intrigues me partly because, you know, I think of my first time as a student in New York and I remember looking out over a kind of roofscape somewhere up near 88th Street West, a very bad part of New York at the time. But I do remember thinking, oh, this is really interesting, you know, because I lived in the suburbs and everyone talks about privacy, but here are all these people doing things on their roofs, you know, playing the flute and doing yoga and arguing with each other. And the same in India and the same in lots of places, actually.
Absolutely. You'd imagine it's actually the most beautiful part of a building. You've got all the sun, you've got the air, you've got the ambience. Everyone loves the rooftop. It's got this kind of magical feel to it.
It has.
But sadly, here in Australia, we just don't use it. And what we're trying to do, of course, is we have a housing crisis and we're needing more homes, and particularly homes around our existing infrastructure, being transportation and the likes.
Mm.
And there isn't any more land. Mm. So we have two options. Number one, we knock something down and rebuild something bigger.
Yeah.
Which is standard, is what we do. Mm. Or you just build up on the existing building that's already there.
Mm.
And that's kind of what we're trying to focus on. It's the 99% of the buildings that are out there.
Mm.
We focus very heavily on, you know, knocking down buildings around train stations and around public transports. But that's only a very small part of our building acquire, where obviously with airspace, we can actually now build houses on the other 99% of buildings that are still there.
So you kind of imagine every building in Sydney, every house, every...
Everything.
With yes. with a new family or something living on top.
Absolutely. Look, I mean, the joy of it is ultimately is that you are removing an existing rooftop and it's ultimately generally quite old.
Mm.
That's kind of what Promex is. And you're putting in, well, overseas they put a modular, a lightweight modular home. So they build it elsewhere. They bring it to the building. They crane it on top. So there's a very minimal amount of time that the actual residents are having to deal with this. But the beauty of it is that the new home actually creates and generates the actual funds to repair and rejuvenate the existing building. So where a lot of owners around here, especially as you can imagine in Sydney and the likes, where no one has any money to fix up their buildings, give them $1 million for their rooftop and they can obviously change all their windows, electrics, plumbing and the likes.
Yeah.
And have another person to help.
That's interesting, isn't it? So, I mean, I'm thinking on the one hand of a suburban house in, you know, I don't know, Burwood, say, where you probably would have a tile roof, which, as you say, might be old and might be leaking because, as the one that I lived under for a while did. And so, or you could be talking about a 12-storey apartment building in the Cross.
Correct.
And so there's a costing, I imagine, in terms of how much money you would, I guess somebody would pay to buy the airspace. That's the idea, isn't it? Somebody comes to buy the airspace and to develop. How do you cost that?
It's really depending on what you can do with the space itself. So as I said to you before, council allows you to go up to so high. So airspace is not really about doing multiple levels. It's one or two. And that's really replacing an existing roof that's generally quite heavy. You've mentioned before about a tiled roof. And they could be anything up to 30-odd tons worth. So you're taking off 30 tons and you're putting on 30 tons in regards to, say, two modular two- or three-bedroom homes. So you're not actually loading the building up.
So you don't usually have to add structure.
No.
Is that right?
Look, I mean, you can, of course, but really the sweet spot and the 90% of buildings out there, the easiest thing to do is just that one to two levels.
Because of that, I suppose.
Well, that's right. In London, in 2020, they actually approved that every residential building within London area can go up one to two levels.
Oh, really? As of right, more or less?
Absolutely. It's called a permitted development right.
Yeah.
Kind of like a CDC, like a compliant development. And it's you would consider it to be like doing or building a granny flat.
Yes.
But instead of doing it in the garden, you put it on the roof. Yeah.
It sounds really sensible. And I think, why aren't we doing this?
Tell me about it.
It's curious, isn't it? So let's talk about, first of all, how many have you done in Sydney? Are there existing examples of this in Sydney?
Absolutely. Yep. I've been involved in about 75 developments so far, and most of them have
quite a few.
A form of roof part to it. What's quite common here is attic conversions. So this is where they're using the existing form and popping out a dormer.
Yes, we all do that in terrace houses and things.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is actually just making it an actual level.
A really big dormer,
Extremely big, yeah.
So, but if you were doing it on a terrace house, there would be an access question, wouldn't there, and how you would get there?
Correct. Terraces are tricky. Of course, individual dwellings, you got a bit more access.
Yes.
The real kind of opportunity we have is more to do with strata, to be honest, and the shop tops.
Yes.
And the commercial buildings.
Okay.
Because strata generally has been spent so many years of neglect. You know, owners don't have the money to fix up these buildings. There's fire upgrades and the like. So they already have these existing tiled pitched roofs that are needing to be replaced, generally because of fire requirements, because they don't have any fire separation in them.
Yeah.
So while they're doing that, just put a new rooftop home on it.
Yes.
And either one of the owners can buy it or, of course, you can have a third-party person.
Yes. So the process is kind of – it's a bit like, I suppose, a developer doing a feasibility for a particular site and just working out how much they can make by selling it, so how much it's going to cost to buy, and that's how much they offer the, I suppose, in this case, a strata body.
Correct. So what the how it works best overseas is actually they go into a joint venture with a developer. So what they have tried to do...
The strata body and the developer go into a JV.
Correct, or any kind of airspace development.
Yes.
Leaving it to the people that kind of know.
Yes.
I guess a lot of people, you know.
Can we trust these people?
Well, you would.
I mean, yeah, I have good trust point. Issues.
No, I think that's very certain. What's great in Sydney is they got iCert now, which is this a certification of builders that, yes, you know, they have to, you know, they
I don't
can't
trust
go bankrupt.
Either. Yeah.
No.
Sorry.
No, fair enough.
No offense.
Fair enough. And especially when they take your roof off and you're like, yeah, oh, well, where exactly. have they gone with it? But yeah, look, you need to obviously do your procurement and check that these people are doing it and they've done it before.
So is there kind of a list of, I don't know, the good ones, the reliable ones, people who've done it before? Can you check out?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah. Look, I mean, with any kind of skilled, you know, they're as good as their last development. So you only have to go and knock on the door and ask the last client how they did.
Yeah.
And they can generally tell you.
With their roof leaking now.
How it's kind of working. The nice thing with modular as well is that, you know, it can all be inspected off-site and all be approved off-site.
Yeah.
So it's not, no one's having to get up on the ladder to try and look at the box cutter.
Yeah.
That's all actually just done there.
So that's actually interesting, isn't it? That's a current, I suppose, fashion amongst quite a few architects who believe that the future of building generally is going to be manufacture and not building, like not putting one thing on top of another, but actually in a factory, precision building, and then delivering it with a crane and dropping it on a side, but in this case, on a roof.
Exactly that.
So it's like ordering a kit set cabin.
Yep.
Or something.
Well, a car is made in a factory,
yes,
you know, and it's a very precise type of equipment. Same thing with housing.
Yeah.
You know, it can be done by robots. It can be done seven days a week, 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
You're not having to be, you're not open to the elements, I guess. And obviously, you know, the local, is because it's a live site, people are living at the house. They're not having to listen to all the noise or the chippies and the driveways and deliveries and trucks coming
through.
So
how long would it take from the point of signing up to the point of delivery and then from the point of delivery to when they stop hammering on your roof?
Generally 6 weeks.
Okay.
So it's quick.
6 weeks delivery time or 6 weeks construction, as it were, construction time?
Generally 6 weeks construction, six weeks on site. So,
okay.
Yeah. Six but look, I mean, it's a romantic notion that we would just do modular for everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, with Sydney having very narrow roads, you know, we have smaller trucks that can fit down them. And so therefore we can't have huge
drones,
modular homes.
Drones.
Yes. So it may be modular in smaller parts. But
okay.
Presently what we're doing
so
is.
So here comes your bathroom.
Yeah. Yes. Pretty much.
So you, just one last question before we stop for a music break. You call this gentle density. Is gentle in some ways, I can see. Is it gentle living with someone on your roof and having someone build on your roof? Does that feel gentle?
No, the density is just going one or two, you know, additional levels throughout the whole suburb.
Yep.
So it's not a dramatic, you know, knocking down, putting up this big concrete jungle for 1,000 people. You know, we just add
incremental change.
5 there, 10 there, 3 there, 2 there, and that's where it's spread out, I guess you could call it.
Yeah, and one thing that appeals to me about that is it encourages small developers rather than the great big
absolutely
mammoth kind of corporate, you know.
Which have the very high
which bring
costs.
Up my trust issue, yeah.
Yeah, we'll get over that, don't worry.
Anyway, that is a perfect time to stop for some music.
When this old world starts getting me down and people are just too much for me to face, I climb way up the top of the stairs and all my cares just drift right into space. On the roof it's peaceful as can be, and there the world below can't bother me. Let me tell you now, when I come home feeling tired and weak, I go and sweet.
that is a track called Up on the Roof, which you probably know by the Drifters. We decided we loved the original version rather than any of the many covers from 1962. I'm Elizabeth Farrelly here with you on The Sydneyist in the Alan Slate studio at Eastside Radio on 89.7 FM or eastsidefm.org. I'm talking, though, at the moment with Warren Livesey, who's the founder of an international association called ARAD, the Association of Rooftop and Airspace Development.
Correct.
I need to practice this. Warren, look, I just want to, first of all, let's talk about some examples of how many and what they're like of these things that have been built in other places. I don't know, is it Berlin, New York, London?
So pretty much across the northern part of the world, where there's density issues.
Yes.
Of course, they're needing to be more pragmatic with the space that they have. You know, in Australia, we've got a lot of land, but we've maybe stretched out possibly a little bit too far. But to give you an example, since 2020, London has actually approved 180,000 new airspace homes.
Wow.
Between London, New York and Paris, they've
approved. In 3 years, 180,000. That's pretty good.
Yep. In London, Paris, New York, 500,000 new homes. And this is really because a lot of people don't want to move, but we need more density. So what do
we
do?
Yes.
You know, they're saying, well, I don't want my place to be knocked down. I don't want to lose my friends, the pharmacy, my doctor, my favorite walk. But I'm happy for something to happen to my building, but I don't want to leave.
Yes.
So the point is, let's create density, keep our buildings, but go up.
And are they mostly apartment buildings?
No, throughout. So, look, apartments is quite a big focus because of the cities. It's really, airspace is very much as an urban infill solution. Mm. And the joy of that is it actually is the most sustainable housing solution in the world. And it aligns with a circular economy because we're saving the building from being knocked down.
Yeah.
We're putting a carbon neutral house on the top, and we're not having to replace it with another concrete intensive building in its place.
So that's actually huge, isn't it? Because you're doing a number of things for the environment and for climate change. One is increasing density. One is not knocking down the building, as you say, and instead essentially recycling the building or upcycling the building.
Correct.
And also, as you say, committing to carbon neutral house dwelling.
Correct.
Is that right? On top. So let's talk for a minute about how you achieve that.
Mm-hmm. Well, traditionally it's wood or with a cross-laminated timber or a lightweight steel structure. So you're not all the foundations are generally already there. Your electricity, water, and gas are already connected. So you're just having to get rid of.
So you're talking about the construction, which is carbon neutral.
Yes, correct.
But then also it has solar. Is that right?
Correct. Solar and generally overseas they're rainwater harvesting. Mm.
And is that kind of required or is that just something that has become part of the package?
It's not required, but we do get government subsidies in order to help do that.
Yes.
So instead of replacing it with a tile, we actually put a photosynthesis type panel that acts as the roof. So
Which is not an SPV. It's a photosynthetic roof.
Panel. Correct.
Photovoltaic. Yep. Okay, that's really interesting, isn't it? So let's talk now about how this might work in Sydney. We've got these housing targets, as you know.
Yep.
New South Wales has committed to 377,000 new dwellings in the next, I forget how many, I think it's by 2029 or something ridiculous.
Yep, 5 years.
Yes, which is not a long time for that new dwellings. Yeah. So, I don't have any idea how many dwellings could we do this way in Sydney?
About 120,000.
120,000. So it's not quite half, or but a third, I suppose.
It's 42% of our housing target can be achieved by airspace development.
Okay. So we could actually, is that what would be a good idea? We could say, Chris Minns could say tomorrow, anyone can do this, one or two stories on top of anything, go for it. Approved.
Absolutely.
Yes.
What they did overseas is they provide a 15% bonus. So a height and floor space ratio bonus for anyone that does an airspace development so that if they are going to be spending the proceeds of the rooftop on rejuvenating the building, they will be able to go that little bit higher and that little bit bigger.
So they've decided this is a very good idea and should be incentivized.
It is the fastest growing urban infill development through Paris, New York, London, and across Europe.
And are these dwellings actually affordable? Is there any control over that, or is it? Do we just sort of hope that increasing the supply increases affordability, or how does that work?
The joy is you're actually building these new homes above affordable homes already. As in, imagine all of our social and affordable housing blocks that we have around, we build above them.
Oh, okay. So not on private apartments, or yes, on private apartments, but on everything.
It's everything. Yes, but if you're wanting to focus on affordability, and to create more affordable and social housing, we just extend what we've already got.
Yes. Okay, that sounds interesting. So let's hypothesize about, say there is this, my favorite, 12-story or 10-story apartment building in King's Cross.
Yep.
And it's a bit run down and they do need to do work on their fire escapes, say. How would it, just walk us through the process. Did they come and talk to you? Would you go and talk to them? Where does it begin?
So traditionally, the strata body would be the ones that would ultimately do the project.
Yeah.
They've obviously equated overseas that doesn't work. Most strata owners or building owners, they don't have the money or the experience or the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're ultimately doing a joint venture with an airspace development company.
Yes.
Who comes in and they tender out the airspace to about 3 or 4 different companies. And that's when you can interview these particular developers and ensure that you're picking the right one. And it's once you've actually done that, you negotiate a call option contract, which allows the developer to actually go to council on their behalf with the design and ultimately to get it approved. They then do the planning and build it. And at the end of it, they generally share the profits half-half. So the owners get half and the developer gets half.
So they wouldn't promise you a lump sum up front. They would basically profit share.
That does happen. However, you want to get the owners' buy-in.
Yeah.
The owners think that they're going to make millions and they don't want to sell off. And how do you value the airspace?
Yes. Difficult.
How much is it going to cost at the end of the day?
But the developer takes the risk, I guess, of developing the application, taking it to council and doing all that feasibility stuff.
So they need to know what they're talking about.
You're not quite making me trust them, but I would still get a lawyer on board. Okay, we're going to run out of time. So just quickly, let's talk about, I think you've talked about two things that intrigue me. One is access. So if you've got a lift that goes to the top floor, how do you get up to the new story? And also car parking. What's the issue there? Or what's the answer there, I suppose?
Yeah, so some of the older buildings have two sets of stairs, fire stairs. Mm. Ultimately, they're only needing the one, and they need an egress out of that for 1 hour.
Mm.
So what they're doing overseas is they're replacing the external stairs with a lift. And what that lift actually provides is access to each individual floor. So not only to the rooftop, but
people... So they get new, better access.
So now people on the first floor, second floor now can stay in their apartments for longer.
Yes.
Not having to be shipped off to old age homes.
Yes.
Because they can wheel themselves in and out of these lifts.
That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, and the car parking question.
Aspect. Just quickly. Yes.
Yeah.
So what they generally do is they ask the body corporates or the like to sign into a car share program. So what that just means is that they retain what they do have, but their second car is a car share. And typically the new solar recharges the battery, the battery recharges the electric car outside, and everybody
So that whole solar refit thing comes with it, and including EV charging. Which
and that's part of the whole package to council, that's what we're going to be doing.
We're running out of time, as ever. I'm so sorry, which is a great conversation. But we're about to have to call that a wrap because Sophie's glaring at me.
Sophie.
In the nicest possible way. That is a wrap. I've been talking with Warren Livesey about building a new layer of city on top of Sydney, which would be really fun and interesting. I'm Elizabeth Farrelly. Thank you for joining us on The Sydneyist. Thank you also to Sophie Kennedy-White, our wonderful producer. If you do have great ideas or questions for us, please drop us a line to thesydneyist@eastsidefm.org. Meanwhile, we're handing over to Yone on the Vinyl Frontier. Thanks for joining.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hello, city dwellers. Ever wondered what makes Sydney tick? Well, hold on to your skyscrapers because the Sydneyist is about to unravel the secrets of the concrete jungle like never before. Together, we'll explore this vibrant metropolis from its foundations to its penthouses. We're not just talking about bricks and mortar, we're talking the soul of Sydney. I'm Elizabeth Farrelly. Join me Thursdays at 6 p.m. for The Sydneyist.